Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 44th episode of the Dinosaur Podcast. My name is Riley, and today I'm going to be talking about the Iguanodon. The Iguanodon has shown up in a ton of movies and has been one of the most featured dinosaurs throughout all different types of movies and documentaries. So the Iguanodon has shown up in documentaries from the BBC, and it's even shown up in Jurassic Park and a bunch of other movies like that. And Iguanodon was one of the first dinosaurs that we discovered in 1825, and so it helped us out a lot in recognizing dinosaurs as their own groups of animals. Up until then, dinosaurs were not really known as dinosaurs, as their own species, until the 1840s, and were just considered to be dragons or biblical giants. And even though we had found dinosaur bones up past the 1600s, was when the first official dinosaur bones were found. The Iguanodon was an herbivore that lived about 4 million years ago, between 126 and 122 million years ago, during the early Cretaceous. And the Iguanodon was a medium-sized dinosaur, with it being about 10 meters long, or 32 feet, and about 5 tons, or 10,000 pounds. The Iguanodon was known for its large front claw on both of its feet, and these claws could have been used for anything from self-defense to splitting some types of trees and bushes for food. The Iguanodon was found by William Benstead in Sussex, England, but was described and named by Gideon Mantell. The Iguanodon was the second dinosaur officially described after Megalosaurus and was the first prey dinosaur to be found. After its discovery in England, it was also found in several other countries in Western Europe, including Spain, Belgium, and Germany, and more recently, a lot of Iguanodon evidence has been found all across the world in places like North Africa, Asia, Australia, and there are even some Iguanodon footprints in Dinosaur Ridge, Colorado, if you want to go there. Because Iguanodon was one of the first herbivores that we've discovered, a lot of other herbivores have been accidentally named Iguanodons and didn't fully understand the species until recently when paleontologists found two complete skeletons. The first skeletons that were discovered were mostly teeth, so early paleontologists, when they made their sketches of them, they thought that the Iguanodon would have looked something like a modern iguana, and they used its main thumb claw as a nose horn for the dinosaur. The first sketch was almost identical to the modern iguanas, and they, although they did estimate it would have been about 60 feet long or 18 meters. The largest discovery of Iguanodons was made in 1878 in a coal mine in Belgium. Coal miners hit the skeleton and then stopped all mining until they were cleared to continue digging. When they first hit it, they thought it was fossilized wood or some kind of carbonized material, so they didn't totally know what to do with it. After they had excavated the bone bed, they found 38 total individuals, and 9 of these individuals are still on display in the Royal History Museum. The discovery of these bones was the first major discovery of bones that led us to figure out how Iguanodon would have walked and stood when it was alive. Once we were able to articulate the Iguanodon, paleontologists found that Iguanodon was able to stand on its back feet and use its hand claws to feed off of smaller trees. One thing that we do know about Iguanodons is they would have herded and fed a lot like cows, so they would have grazed in huge herds across large fields. They also would have fed somewhat like giraffes, where they can kind of get on their back feet, or sorry, elephants, where they can kind of get on their back feet and feed off of small trees. Today's first dinosaur article is a study that was done on some pterosaur bones that they found in Australia. So these pterosaur bones were found in the 1980s, and they were found in Victoria in Dinosaur Cove. So they found two different bones. They found a pelvis bone from a full-grown pterosaur, and they think that it would have had a wingspan of about 2 meters or about 6.5 feet. And then they found the wing bone of a smaller, younger pterosaur. And so what they basically did is they dated them, and then they were also trying to trace them to other bones that they had found in Australia. So these bones, once they dated them, they found that they were about 107 million years old. Which would have made them the oldest pterosaur bones in Australia. And they wanted to figure out if they migrated, because at 107 million years ago, Australia would have been a lot farther south, and Victoria would have been within the polar circle. And so during the winter, these pterosaurs probably would not have been able to live in that area. So they were trying to figure out whether or not these pterosaurs would have flown north towards Upper Australia and even into like South Asia. More recently, some data has come out that said that pterosaurs probably could have migrated. Some American teams at Yale University have found that pterosaurs might have been able to fly up to 10,000 miles. So animals like pterosaurs would have been able to migrate up into China in that region from Australia. Makes sense that pterosaurs would have been able to fly that far, because we found evidence that pterosaurs migrated from South America up into North America and all across Europe. But one of the hard parts about figuring out whether or not pterosaurs would have been able to migrate is that their bones aren't usually preserved very well, because they had hollow bones to help them fly. And a lot of times, if they did migrate, they would have migrated over the oceans. So a lot of the bones that we might be able to get have already been lost. Thanks, everybody, for listening to today's episode. If you have any recommendations or you want a specific dinosaur for me to talk about, you can always email me or DM me on Instagram or something, and I'll get to you as fast as I can. But thank you for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed.